sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, one half of your hosted team. I'm in Vegas. The other half of your hosted team is in jubilant Boston. It's Josh Applebaum. Josh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pritch. Yeah, I didn't get swept away by the wind yesterday in Orchard Park, but Pritch, what a great game. We can recap all this, but it's always nice when kind of you locate two angles and they both come through for you. Obviously, when you're looking at the wind, and we were talking about how it was a decision for a lot of bettors, 45 all the way down to 41. Can you still take the 40-41 if it's moved so much? Well, we got the answer to that, Pritch. With the wind, it really didn't matter, although after one quarter it was 8-7. It's like, ooh, maybe buying low in the over was a smart move. So whether you played it, or whether you just, you know, tease it up, either way, the under comes through. If you look at these windy unders now, 10 miles an hour or more, 38-21 to the under, 64% this year. But Pritch, the Pats getting it done. Mm-hmm. The juice always in their side. That +3 juiced up -115. We're looking at these dogs now continuing to do well. Short road dogs +3 or less, 20-10 ATS this year, 67%. But Pritch, I buried the lead. Guess who's the favorite to win the AFC? The Patriots +300. Guess who's the favorite to win the NFC? The Bucks +275. Pritch, we have Brady and Belichick on a collision course for the Super Bowl. If that happens, all of New England will spontaneously combust. Great win last night. I want Brady and I want Belichick in the Super Bowl. And right now, that's where the odds are trending.
More signals for your state to get on board with legalizing sports betting, right? More signals.
Oh, man, that would break records. Imagine that, Rich.
That would be crazy. Well, first of all, congratulations to the Patriots. I guess it's justified when you in the offseason outspend everybody in free agency. I mean, don't forget that. How aggressive the Patriots have been since the entire offseason going into the season. We talked about Bill Belichick, scorch earth tour for this guy, and a lot of credit. I mean, he just reestablishes himself as the greatest head coach in the National Football League of all time. And there was so much evidence in this game, too. As we look at it, you know, cashing to the under with a teaser, teasing the Patriots up if you wanted to. You didn't have to, but if you wanted to. But he used the arrogance of the Buffalo Bills against them. I mean, Buffalo's at home. They understand the windy conditions in their own stadium, but yet they didn't use it to their advantage. They were going into the wind in the fourth quarter right there in that football game. To me, that's inexcusable.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, you tune into some national TV shows today. They're all talking about how Belichick is so smart. But I think sometimes, you know, being smart means not outsmarting yourself, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Belichick winning that game, I think the big thing is, oh, you know, they won the game. Mac Jones only threw three passes. Like, unbelievable. It never happens. But I think Belichick just said, hey, the conditions are crazy, and what do we really bank on as a team? A really good offensive line. If you look at the heights and weights of all the offensive linemen, Pritch, they have one of the biggest lines in football. You have a good running game, and you have a rookie quarterback who you don't want to put into a bad spot. So what does that mean? It means play good defense. You know, don't have to rely on your kicker much. Just run the ball. The only mistake that Belichick made, Pritch, was putting N'Keal Harry there back to field a punt. This guy never fields punts, and you're going to put him in a spot with terrible weather. That was the only mistake Belichick made, but it just goes to show you, I think the reason why you like the Patriots, if you want to place a futures bet on them, they're only one win away from cashing their over 9.5 win total, Pritch. So that's a little early Christmas gift. They can now they're off a bye. But I just think, Pritch, you know, they can play any way you want. You want to win a 14-10 game where you're low scoring, they can do that. They have to put up points, and Mac Jones has to throw the ball, they can do that too. I think that Belichick has a team that he really, really likes because it's not all about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He can just mix and match and play the matchups. I think that's why you're seeing this Patriots team do so well this
year.
It's
about discipline, passionate overachievers, Josh. That's the Belichick way. It really is, because everybody's prepared. Everybody is prepared on this football team for every situation. Whereas most teams in the National Football League, they're not prepared. I mean, for instance, Buffalo. Look, you're not going to change your ways. You're going to be arrogant about what you do. You're going to throw the football. Okay, fine. But you have to execute that, too. 1 of 4 in the red zone. And the only time they was in the red zone is because of the muff punt that brushed off his helmet. I'm not going to even say it hit his helmet. It brushed off his face mask. And that put the Bills in the red zone. That's the only time they had really a significant opportunity to score a touchdown. They took advantage of it with the RPO. So credit them that way. But when you can't execute in the red zone, which the Buffalo Bills for the last several weeks have been one of the worst teams in terms of red zone scores per game. I'm talking about touchdowns. They're right in the category with, you know, Tennessee, Denver, Seattle, Carolina, 1.7 touchdowns per game when you're in the red zone. Buffalo, this has been trending that way with this football team.
You're totally right, Pritch. And again, this game would have been different if, you know, that deep pass to Stephon Diggs, you know, if he catches that one. And there are other opportunities here where you could have maybe gotten this thing a little bit closer. But again, I think it just comes to the fact of Bills felt like, hey, like, we're from Buffalo. We deal with the weather. We can throw the ball. And I give Josh Allen a lot of credit, Pritch. The elements were really terrible. And he made quite a few plays in the air that Mac Jones obviously wasn't asked to make. But you're totally right, Pritch. This is a team that has had some issues. Now, I think, what are they, 3-4, their last seven? They've struggled here a little bit. And I just think all this house money on the Patriots, you know, we mentioned with, you know, these division odds, you know, going into last night to win that AFC East, it was Bills minus 130, Patriots plus 110. We're saying, hey, if you like the Pats in this game, this thing's going to flip if they win. Now the Patriots are a minus favorite now to win that division. So again, it's how you map it out. Now minus 230, huge move here, Pritch, toward the Pats.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got to follow the tea leaves too, which I do. I mean, in terms of my betting, lower left, upper right, getting there. And so you look at the Patriots minus 230, the tea leaves all week leading up to this big game, Bill Belichick highlighting Josh Allen, focused in on tendencies, focused in on how great this guy is. It told me everything I needed to know what Belichick was going to focus in on, and he did that. If you think about that last play for the Buffalo Bills, what, 4th and 14, they had a guy named Miles Bryant break up that pass only because of tendencies. Cole Beasley was wide open if against that casino blitz, if the Buffalo Bills would have changed their ways in terms of featuring players as opposed to featuring a system, knowing, okay, you got a double post, you're going to clear out with Beasley, and therefore Davis is going to be open in the back of the end zone. But you know what? If you're prepared like a Belichick defense is, you can have a guy, third team safety, Miles Bryant, come in and make the play of the night. I mean, it's crazy to me. But that's a sign to me when I look at these AFC East odds. The Patriots will be better prepared than most teams in the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills at plus 165, I can't count on them to change their ways. There's too much arrogance about what they do in order to understand what's going wrong with them right now.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, you know, the Dolphins, 150-1. I'm not going to make that bet. I don't expect that to happen. But which team is trending better right now, Pritch? The Dolphins, who have won, what, five straight, or the Bills, who have struggled here? That's kind of the question you got to ask yourself. And you talk about Miles Bryant, Pritch. This speaks to kind of the depth of the team and the coaching of New England, because, you know, you've had a lot of success with undrafted free agents, Malcolm Butler, J.C. Jackson. There's a long line of these. But Malcolm Bryant, next man up. You know, my one concern going into last night was missing Kyle Duggar because of COVID. A guy who's really come on, a young player here in year two, who's starting to make some moves on defense. But what do? You throw Miles Bryant in, and he has a great, you know, pass deflection right there to end it. So it just goes to show you're well coached, you're fundamentally sound. The other thing, Pritch, that, you know, Boston Talk Radio talks about is, like, Belichick gets into these big contract arguments with players when they want more money. He's paid all these guys, so they can't complain about money. They're buying in, they're winning, they're from different teams, and they're saying, wow, this, you know, drink the Kool-Aid here and we're winning games. The buy-in is huge on this Pats team right now, which, again, with a wide open AFC, with, you know, maybe Baltimore taking a step back, and who knows what the Bills are going to do for you. I think the Patriots and Pritch, I just, in February, if it's Brady against Mac
going
Jones,
back to that.
And it's, I'm going nuts, and I don't know what I'll do. It's, I want, please, dear God, make that happen.
Yeah, you know what? It's possible. It really is. I mean, what's motivating Bill Belichick? Just like what's motivated Tom Brady. It's this separation of the greatest of all time to ever do it. And they are on a collision course. Let's look at the AFC Championship futures here, because the Chiefs could upend that. They can get in the way of that happening. They're plus 275. The Patriots, as of right now, plus 300. AFC Championship futures right here. The Buffalo Bills, plus 450. The Ravens, plus 700. You look at all these teams on the board, majority of them, they have issues. Health, lack of consistency, you know, that legendary quarterback situation. You know, the Chiefs have that. The Patriots don't really have a legendary quarterback, but he's managing the game and he's doing what everybody else is doing. He's overachieving with that Patriots football team.
He really is, Pritch. And again, you're looking at kind of a chalky selection here. It's really becoming a two-team type race between the Chiefs and the Patriots. So maybe they're on a collision course for the AFC Championship game. And I think Belichick kind of created this team, you know, getting Jude on it and really focusing on, you know, a stouter defensive line and better defensive backs to kind of stop a team like the Chiefs here. So I would still give the Chiefs, you know, they should be the favorite. They are the favorite. When they're running hot, Pritch, they're really tough to beat. But the Patriots are right behind him. And if you're looking for a dark horse, you know, I go down the list and really the only teams that kind of intrigue me, Colts 16-1, you know, Bengals, I'm not a huge believer, but 20-1, I think that's a valuable number. I think if you're either Patriots or Chiefs, either way, you get one of these in, you know, you can maybe hedge that thing in the AFC Championship game. But, you know, I'm down on the Ravens right now. You lose Marlon Humphrey for the year, Pritch. They just have so many injuries that have really hurt them. And I would just mention, you know, one game that caught my eye early this week was the Cleveland Browns, Pritch. They're coming off a bye. They're at home against Baltimore. Baltimore's really struggled here as of late. Cleveland opened -1.5 at home. They're up to -2.5. Coming off a bye, favorites off a bye, 57% ATS. So I'm kind of looking at Cleveland there, maybe to get it done on a short number before it gets to the key number of 3.
All right. Exciting betting times, that's for sure. The VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on over 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few high-value props. The guide drops December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. You know, after the Patriots go on their spending spree too, Josh. I mean, another team, like you mentioned on this board, I was talking about the offseason, they're very aggressive in the offseason. But the Colts, you mentioned it, 16-1, really intrigued though. But Carson Wentz, can you rely on him to get it done? I think their team is complete, but that quarterback situation a little shaky still.
Yeah, and every time I try to give Carson Wentz credit, he's got a great touchdown interception ratio, Pritch. There's a big game, and then he lets you down. So, again, maybe it's the one quarterback holding you back with that Colts team.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to get to some NFL awards coming up. I mean, Bill Belichick, he probably will coach of the year, win that, I think. But there's some other awards on the board, too, to get to. All that and more coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID, open an account, and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel that you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So let's get to some futures, shall we? NFL MVP futures right now, current pricing, Josh. You got Tom Brady as a favorite, +175. Aaron Rodgers, +600 here, which is a gap. I mean, that is, right? I mean, you think about it. And then Josh Allen, for whatever reason, +700. Kyler Murray gets interesting, 10-1. Patrick Mahomes, maybe, but then Matthew Stafford at 12-1. I want to focus on that for a minute because he's currently 160 yards behind Tom Brady in passing yards. He's 4 touchdowns behind Tom Brady in touchdowns. He's got 30, Brady's got 34. He's got fewer interceptions. You know, he's got a big game coming up against Kyler Murray and Arizona. Can he get back into this MVP race here, Josh, and can he at 12-1 be value here on board?
So, Pritch, it's kind of interesting because the perception of a player versus his numbers, a lot of times you're like, wow, you look at the numbers, wow, this player is much better than I thought he was or much worse than he thought he was, or maybe your kind of perception is spot on. Pritch, it's weird. Like, I knew Stafford was having a good year, but it seems like every time I bet on Stafford or watch a Stafford game, he's making mistakes and throwing interceptions and, you know, getting beat at Lambeau Field. So it's kind of intriguing, and you make a good point. You know, at 12-1, that's kind of an interesting number because he's got 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. You know, he's only, as you mentioned, only 100 yards behind Brady for the lead. league in passing yards. So if you just go off the stats, cover up the names of the players, you're like, wow, that could be value there. But Pritch, I'm not going to outsmart myself too much. I'm going to go Tom Brady here. I know you're not getting the best of the number. You know, we had highlighted Brady. I think he was, what, 14-1, 13-1, something like that going into the year. But if you look at his numbers, they're really, really impressive. You know, 34 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions, a little bit high, you know, for him here, but leading the league in passing yards. And I just think as Brady continues to put up these numbers, they have a pretty soft schedule down the stretch. You know, he could approach 50 touchdowns, Pritch. And when you start to see all these numbers accumulate on a guy that's 43 years old, and you're just going to get hammered by the narrative of, wow, broke this record, oldest player to do this, oldest player to do that, oldest player to throw for this many yards. It's just going to become a crazy situation where, wow, we're witnessing something, Haley's Comet, that doesn't happen often with a player this old putting up these ridiculous numbers. I think that narrative is going to be in Brady's favor. And at plus 175, Pritch, you mentioned it. This isn't like a 175, a 275, mm-hmm. a 375. He's way above everyone else. Rodgers is the next best odds at plus 600. I think this is Brady's award to win.
Wow, how about that? I mean, you mentioned narrative. Okay, the narrative is on his side. I mean, if they go back, you know, back to back, if it trends or looks as if the Buccaneers are going to go back to the Super Bowl, which it does right now, you can certainly make the case that the narrative favors Tom Brady. The narrative on Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he took a PR hit because of COVID, right? And so at plus 600, I mean, he's playing stellar football. You take him off that team, the Packers are not in this position, certainly not going to make the playoffs even. So Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the Green Bay Packers, maybe in fact be the MVP of the league again. Now, Josh Allen, I think that's up in the air here. They have opportunities. He will have opportunities taking a dip with their playoff picture, but yet if he can resurrect the playoff picture and get back into the playoff picture as a top seed or a higher seed even, okay, he makes the case. Kyler Murray, I think he missed too many games, even though he's impactful. Matthew Stafford, I do want to focus in on this, though, because can he overcome the narrative that he's not necessarily the MVP because he has so much star power on that football team? Donald, Beckham Jr., Ramsey, I mean, all this collection, Von Miller, all these collection of superstars on his team. Can he rise above that in the voters' eyes as an MVP candidate, though?
I think they may hold that against him, Pritch. And again, probably shouldn't. You know, your stats should speak for yourself here. Mm-hmm. But I think it would say, hey, wow, like they were a really good team without him. Look at what Jared Goff did. And now think of Jared Goff as not a very good quarterback, but took him to the Super Bowl. And now Stafford's in there again and putting up really good numbers. But again, I think they're going to hold it against him that, hey, you have a really good coach. You have great defensive players. You know, you just get Odell, even though you lose Robert Woods. So we'll see how that shakes out, Pritch. But, you know, let me throw this back to you, Pritch, as a non-quarterback that you are. Maybe you're a QB. Back in Pop Warner, but who's the only non-quarterback on this list here? Jonathan Taylor, 14-1, Pritch. Will he win it? Probably not. It's probably going to go to Brady or Rodgers or one of these other guys. But let's just step back and look at what Jonathan Taylor has done this year. He's leading the NFL, 1,348 rushing yards. He's averaging over 100 yards a game, 13 games, 1,300 yards. He's got a 5.6 yard per carry. He's got 16 touchdowns. I mean, this guy's having an incredible year. And when you ask, like, you know, hey, who's the MVP of that team? Is it Carson Wentz? Is it Frank Reich? Is that good defense? Imagine what they would be without Jonathan Taylor, Pritch. I think at 14-1, I like the number. I like the value. Am I confident that he's going to win it? No, but I just think of that number, Taylor could be worth a look.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's one player not even on the list here, Big Ben speaking up for him, lobbying, T.J. Watt, because you know, he had 3.5 sacks. He'll probably win Defensive Player of the Year. He's a favorite 2-1 right now. He was second place last year to Donald. But T.J. Watt, I don't know if that's realistic. I mean, I know his stats, his numbers are climbing towards Lawrence Taylor, you know, last defensive player really to kind of win that MVP situation. But I don't know if T.J. Watt could get there. He's not even on the board. But non-quarterback related, I mean, yeah, obviously Jonathan Taylor, the favorite right there at 14-1.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Watt's a great player, but he's missed some games with injuries, with COVID. And you, Pritch, if you are a defensive player, you know, a Charles Woodson, or, you know, we throw it back to, you know, all these Ray Lewis back in the day, like, you have to put up ridiculous numbers that just.
He's got
like,
those.
You're at such a. And he does. Yeah, he does. But it just. I just feel like they hold it against these defensive players. You just have to put up such insane numbers that they have to give you the award. I just think it's such geared toward offense. Mm-hmm. He's not even listed here. Great player. But, Pritch, I will mention, I'll be rooting for him this weekend or this Thursday night. night, because there is a bit of a move toward Pittsburgh. A lot of these books were, you know, 3.5, 4, down to 3.5. That would be a primetime dog with Pittsburgh on Thursday night against a Minnesota team that's going to miss Dalvin Cook, Thielen, and some other players. So I like the Steelers plus 3.5 if you can find the hook this Thursday night.
Can Belichick win Coach of the Year after the spending spree that the Patriots went on? I mean, if you spend the money, you're going to get better. I mean, that's what that narrative is. But it's Bill Belichick with a rookie quarterback right now. Probably sewn up Coach of the Year. Kingsbury giving him a run for his money. If they can get the number one seed, he's plus 350. LaFleur is not going to get there because he's got Aaron Rodgers. And then certainly Vrabel 10-1. I wouldn't even take a shot at that. Zach Taylor is interesting, though, because if the Bengals win the division, and this guy was on the hot seat to start the season. He has never, in 2 years, he's never won this many football games that he's won so far this year. If they win a division out there in Cincinnati, Zach Taylor at 12-1, what do you think?
Yeah, Taylor 12-1, definitely some value here. You stumbled last week against the Chargers. Maybe you can get some good mojo going. It's almost like, you know, in Major League Baseball, Pritch, when there's like a bad team that plays well and you get the Coach of the Year in like the AL or NL, kind of it's different in the NFL, obviously. But Taylor could be worth a look. Again, a team that's overperformed. Their win total was 6.5. You're already above that. I would say with Belichick, Pritch, he really strengthened his case last night. I don't think he did it intentionally, but it was just now just the media narrative of, hey, at first you're a coach who, again, and there's no executive of the year odds, Pritch, because he's both the GM and the coach. But what he did last night, only throwing 3 passes and winning on defense and special teams, I mean, that's really a cherry on top for this award here. Kingsbury, though, plus 350, Pritch, if they have the best record, you know, in the NFL when it's all said and done, plus 350 could have some value. I just think it's a 1-2 kind of thing here with Belichick and Kingsbury. And maybe at plus money, you know, hey, you can't go wrong with either.
Okay. I mean, Kingsbury, strong case, plus 350 if they get the number one seed for sure. The dynamic there with Vance Joseph, who probably will be a head coaching candidate, and what he's done with the defense, and then Kingsbury doing everything offensively. Is you have two head coaches going on right now with the Cardinals. But Belichick, what he's done with this defense, we focus on Mac Jones only throwing a couple passes, but yet what the Patriots defense has done all year, I mean, that's a tribute to Bill Belichick. And so the spending, the buy-in, like you mentioned, the overachieving by players, I mean, that's excellent coaching so far this year.
It really is, Pritch. And the ironic thing, or whatever, what also strengthens Belichick's case is, you know, whoever wins the offseason and spends the most money in free agency, those teams never do well. You know, it's always like the guys are bust, they overpay, they don't mesh together. Another credit to Belichick is the fact that, yeah, he spent all this money, mm-hmm. but he selected players kind of personality-wise or, I don't know, just fitting in with the team very well. A guy like Matthew Judon, who was a good piece in Baltimore, but now is absolutely flourishing, or some of these free agents on the defensive line to strengthen the defensive line. So to me, Belichick, early on, it's, hey, he's winning with a rookie quarterback. Now after last night, he's winning just with a good overall team all three phases of the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's zigs when everybody zags. Everybody's zagging and he's zigging, because the thing is, the spending spree that he went on, guess what? The salary cap jumps up $30 million, close to $30 million next year. So of all the years to have a spending spree and be different, this was the year to do it, whereas everybody else, they were cutting players because they had to get underneath the cap. I mean, it's crazy to think about. This guy is in front of everybody year in and year out. It just doesn't matter.
Great point by you, Pritch. And the new TV deals and sports right. betting revenues, I mean, it's going to go way up. So these contracts may not look that bad moving forward.
Yeah, how about this? And coming up next on the program, the NFC playoff picture is who's in, who's out. I mean, we go through that. Come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of Betting Across America is brought to you by Zen Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, and no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zen Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like Spearmint, Wintergreen, Citrus, and many more. Each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zen, which is America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zen. So head over to zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. So the NFC playoff picture. We're going to start with the 6th and 7th seeds here because I wonder if they can hang on. News, Fitzpatrick is opting for surgery, indicating that Heinicke secured that job. And he should. I mean, the winning streak that he's on and the way that he's playing. But they did lose a big key to that offense, Logan Thomas. I mean, that was a cheap shot, by the way. And Ngakoue shouldn't do that. I would be mad. Hopefully he gets fined for that, ending the season for a premium player like that. But anyway, Washington 6-6. Odds to make the playoffs, yes, plus 125, no, minus 155. Josh, you think the Washington football team can hang on?
So I'm 50-50 on this, and I think based on the odds makers' numbers here, they're telling you it's slightly more likely that they miss the playoffs. And I think the reason for that, Pritch, is, yeah, they're really hot right now. They're playing great. Injuries, you know, we kind of knew Fitzpatrick wouldn't really return here, and it's Heinicke's job moving forward, which we kind of thought anyway. But, Pritch, it's just tough for me because if you look at the schedule down the stretch for the Washington football team, they have all division games, their last five games of the year. You're playing the Cowboys, then the Eagles, then the Cowboys again, then the Eagles again, then the Giants. So that's a really tough stretch. There's really no cupcakes there. And when you have all these divisional matchups, these are super tight games. They could go either way. But I look at it and say, you're probably going to split a lot of these. Maybe you're 2-3. Maybe you're 3-2. You go 3-2, maybe you cash that plus 125. So I do like them in terms of the spread, Pritch. One bet I made today early for the NFL Week 14 slate is taking Washington +4. I've seen a lot of money move toward the football team here. Dallas open -5 on the road. They're down to -4, even though they're the public play here. And it looks like this line may even get down to 3.5. All these +4 Washingtons are juiced up like it's +4, -120, going down to 3.5. So I grabbed the 4 there with the points. Maybe you play well and keep this thing close and cover the number. But Pritch, I'll defer to you. Tough stretch there with all these division games. Would you lean more on the minus 155 to miss or the plus 125 to make for WFT?
Well, I'm looking at everybody else on the board. I mean, the Eagles, Gardner Minshew, man, Minshew mania. How about that? The discussion exists about him being the quarterback moving forward, and the Eagles look different. Cannot deny that. They look different, more energized, certainly having more fun, and everybody's involved that way. And I think they have more options offensively, too, in addition to the running game. We'll see what direction they go in, though, with the Eagles. And so depending on the teams behind Washington, the football team, you mentioned the schedule. I'm in lockstep with the schedule. I won't lean the minus 155 yet, though, to miss the playoffs. I mean, this team, this quarterback, I mentioned it several weeks ago, he's hungry. He's got that gunslinger mentality, and he has nothing to lose. That's dangerous for a player like this playing this way so far. But he did take a hit, though, offensively with the injury to Logan there at tight end.
You're exactly right, Pritch. And again, I think that's what you're banking on. Heinicke continuing to progress and get better with more experience. And of course, you're going to need your running backs to be healthy here. You've been dinged up here recently. But Pritch, to me, it's like between the Eagles and the Washington football team, I feel like one of those two will sneak into the 6 or 7 seed. They're both plus 125. You can walk a tightrope and bet them both and feel like, hey, you know, as long as I get one of the two, I'll win, you know, 0.25 units there. But where I'm going to go with this one, Pritch, is the 49ers to make the playoffs. Okay. They're the 7 seed, you know, technically one seed back of Washington, but they're minus 190. They're the only minus number we have on the board here to make the playoffs. And if you look at their schedule down the stretch, you're playing the Bengals this week, which is pretty much a pick 'em type game. And you've seen some movement actually towards San Francisco. A lot of these books were Bengals like laying 1, 1.5, or 2. Now it's down to 1 or a pick 'em. You got a lot of good matches on Garoppolo and Shanahan as dogs there. So whether you win or lose that one, you still have a game at home against the Falcons, a game at home against the Texans. You know, you probably expect to win both of those. And then you have to go to the Titans and to the Rams. Now, those are going to be tough games here, but I could see them, you know, getting 3-2 their last 5. You know, then you're, what, a 9-8 record. To me, the San Francisco 49ers at minus 190, even though it's a minus number, it's not too heavy. And I think the 49ers would be the one team I would pick on this board to make the playoffs at minus 190.
Okay, so they have some injury situations, too, with the linebacking core. You think about Deebo Samuel. I mean, the explosive nature that he presents to that offense, too. We saw that actually play out against Seattle. Now, familiarity within the division, that's different than the 49ers and what they're going to face coming up here this week.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pritch. So again, you need Deebo Samuel back. You need Fred Warner back. I think there was a report saying, hey, this is only going to be a 1 or 2 week injury, which, by the way, Pritch, the Boston Celtics are notorious for telling you it's a 1 or 2 week injury. And then it's like 4 weeks. They've been doing this with Jaylen Brown all year long. So who knows if that's real or not, but at least it's not a season ending variety. But again, you know, Jimmy G having a good year. You do have good coaching there. The 49ers with a couple cupcakes down the stretch, to me, would be the team I would target to make the playoffs right now.
And the Panthers are off the board probably because Matt Rule firing Brady. I mean, my goodness, you got a secure contract, Matt Rule, and you're already going to fire and jettison your offense coordinator, which indicates that you might not have a clue. A lot of people thought that he did have a clue. One guy that could make the jump from college to the National Football League, he had a lot of support for that. Maybe an indicator right here, more tea leaves. This is off the board here for the Panthers in their situation to miss or make the playoffs.
Yeah, really surprising move there, Pritch. A young guy who, again, you know, how good can you look as an offensive coordinator if you have Sam Darnold, who's injured and seeing ghosts, and then you have Cam Newton? Like, I just think he kind of was up against it to start. I would say, Pritch, I like Atlanta Falcons plus three this weekend. They're going to Carolina. If you look at the way the juice is trending, the Falcons look to be in the spot that the Patriots were in last night. Divisional spot, divisional dog on the road, a low total divisional dog, which is always a good thing. And a lot of these opening at three, but almost all threes on the Falcons are plus three, minus 120. Pritch, I think this thing gets down to 2.5. At that point, maybe it tees up the Falcons, but I like the Falcons in this spot plus three before it falls. And then, Pritch, one team that I kind of like to miss the playoffs, it's a big number, minus 360, but the Minnesota Vikings. They're getting hurt now. A lot of these guys are out. This is a team that I think could spiral down in a bad direction here moving forward. I like Pittsburgh in the points Thursday night, but if you look at the schedule moving forward for Minnesota, they have the Bears twice, probably going to beat them both times. But then the Packers, the Steelers, the Rams. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tough spot, and they're already two games below 500. Minus 360 is a big number, but I don't think the Vikings are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Panthers, Matt Rule. I mean, who's the quarterback before they traded for Darnold? Was it Bridgewater?
It was Bridgewater, P.J. Walker, yeah, a bunch of these guys, exactly.
It's the coordinator's fault, though, right?
but, Pritch, don't feel bad. He'll get, like, a gazillion dollars to go back to college, so he'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely going to happen. How about this? The injury news, COVID news. We could see Jake Fromm, playing quarterback because Glennon's in concussion protocol for the Giants. Daniel Jones already moved out. They traded for Fromm. And so how does this affect this game? The Chargers, their situation with the COVID news with Keenan Allen, he's on the COVID list. We're not sure if he's vaccinated or not. We'll see what happens and develops during the week. Bosa, concussion. But the defense rose to the occasion against the Bengals, stopping the run, which they needed to do, and coming up with some timely defensive plays as well. Laying a big number, though, against the Giants with a quarterback they just recently traded for.
Yeah, Pritch, this is kind of a similar spot, obviously, with Glennon going to Miami last week, where we saw a big move based on a backup or now third or fourth string quarterback at this point, Pritch. So I think there's two ways to attack this. Number one, I think the Chargers are in a good teaser spot going up against Fromm. You take them 10.5. Down to minus 4.5. That way you go through 10 and go through 7. Just got to win by 5 or more. That's kind of a long teaser play on a favorite to bring him down a little bit if you're afraid of, hey, maybe Fromm, you know, surprises you a bit, or maybe the Giants defense plays well. I think it's a good teaser spot with the Chargers in a non-conference favorite angle. The other angle, Pritch, would be the under here. How many points is Fromm going to put up? Either way, Giants have been really good to the under this year. If you look at their updated numbers, they're 8-3-1 to the under. You look at the Chargers, surprisingly, we think of, you know, Herbert putting up a million points, but they're 7-5 to the under, and that total's already fallen, 45.5 down to around 44.5. Yeah, it's in the dome there at SoFi, but you look at these non-conference unders, been very good this year. Updated stat, 41-21, 66%. So I'd target the under. I'd look to tease down the Chargers. And Pritch, you know I like my gross dogs, but I don't want any interest here in Fromm plus the points.
That was really gross, to be honest with you. I don't even know if a hazmat suit could help you with that one. Brandon Staley, great job of coaching. I'll give him a lot of credit from a defensive standpoint, what he was able to do and produce or help produce for that Chargers defense. That was a performance that was needed. Let's get to the Ravens. Marlon Humphrey is officially out now the rest of the season. There was doubt about him and an illness, but now he's out for the rest of the season with an injury. The Browns, too, seeing a lot of early line movement because of the injury bug. Just cannot leave the Ravens organization right now.
Yeah, you got one team really injured here, Ravens, Pritch, but the other team, the Browns, they've been banged up, but they're coming off a bye. That bye couldn't have come at a better time. The early move did go to the Browns, -1.5 up to -2, -2.5. Also, a divisional late season underplay there, Pritch, 43 down to 42.
Yeah, we're going to get to some more injury news updates, perhaps coaching news, too, that could affect your bet. All that and more come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with a special offer on college basketball. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSIN200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy college hoops like never before with BetMGM all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. It's a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel that you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. So some more injury news that could affect your bet. We got a Thursday night matchup coming up here to Josh. Vikings and Steelers. Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Considered to be a long shot to play. I mean, ankle sprains, high ankle sprains in particular, those are tough to come back from quickly. Certainly right there. What do you think about this line movement? I don't know if it's based on that news. It could be. Or the Steelers maybe getting healthier. Open -3.5 Vikings at home, now -3 Vikings at home.
You're exactly right, Pritch. I think it's probably a little bit of combination of both. Obviously, the injuries are favoring the Steelers here with the fact that you're going to miss most likely Dalvin Cook, Thielen, two huge pieces to your offense here for the Vikings. But also, Pritch, a lot of these defensive guys from Minnesota, I mean, Anthony Barr and Kendricks and a bunch of these guys who missed the last game or a couple games in a row here, they might be out as well. I think this is a good play to back Pittsburgh. As you mentioned, a lot of these books are 3.5 down to 3. Some books, I even saw an opener of -4 Vikings, or a little kind of an earlier look at the line. Either way, they're both falling toward the Vikings, but I would hold out for a 3.5. I don't think you have to go bet it right now. A lot of these -3s are juiced up, -3, -120 to the Vikings. Like that 3.5 is probably going to pop up at some point. But I think the hook could be critical. I like the Steelers here in this spot, Pritch, having some momentum off that big win against Baltimore. But also dial it up once again for Mike Tomlin as a dog, Pritch. Right. 5-2 ATS as a dog, 71% in his career with the Steelers as a dog, 43-21, 67%. You're also looking at road dogs doing well in the NFL this year, 61%. And those one of the systems you love, Pritch, those road dogs plus 7 or less. 56-23, 71% ATS this year. So
71%.
Add it all up, Pritch. 71%. Yeah, we're winning 3 out of 4 of these, Pritch. So I'll grab the points with the hook with Pittsburgh 3.5. And keep an eye on the under maybe with these offensive guys probably missing for Minnesota. These non-conference unders have done well. Primetime unders have done very, very well, specifically the last couple months. That opened 44.5. Kind of stayed where it's at, but if you start to see the juice dip a little bit here, Pritch, I think 44.5 to the under could be a worthwhile play on Thursday night.
You know, we talk about letdown spots after wins. What about letdown spots after losses too? I think there's players on this roster that might be willing to check out or getting close to it. 5-7 record. Zim probably is not going to come back. You're not inspired at all by the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, even though he played decent. It's just the belief in that building right now after losing to the Lions. It's got to be at an all-time low. And then on the other side, conversely to that, the Steelers, everything's feeling good over there in their building. Mike Tomlin, you mentioned him. Big Ben lobbying for T.J. Watt, MVP. I mean, there's a good feeling, a good sense in that Steelers locker room right now as they're trying to make a push towards playoffs.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. So not only is this a team off a big win who's kind of turning it around, getting a little bit healthier. We have these Mike Tomlin stats. We know that road dogs have done very well. Primetime dogs have done
70%.
Well. You know, Mike, Yeah, exactly. So again, if you're making a case, and I always think of myself as kind of like a lawyer, Pritch, like a Better Call Saul, you know, when you're trying to win a case, you're trying to just layer in as many positives in one direction as you can to feel like you can convince a jury to make a bet, and your jury is you as the better here. Mm-hmm. So sounds good to me with a +3.5 here. That's a play I put in today with Pittsburgh. But I would mention just real quick, Zimmer, he is good off a loss. If you look at him off a loss, he's 4-2 ATS this year, and he's actually 34-17, 67% in his career. Now, again, that based on the line movement, really the wise guys aren't really, you know, betting on that trend there.
Right.
But again, Zimmer has done well in that spot. But I think really all the value is on the dog here in this play.
Losing to the Lions that way, though, that's just not your average loss.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. there's some cursing going on in that locker room right now. Kicking of equipment around that locker room right now, too. The Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor is injured again, I think. Or was he benched? Not sure about that. Davis Mills is going to get to start. Seahawks currently laying 7.5. Are you going to touch this game, Josh Apple? Actually, 8 now on the board.
I think this thing is going to go up and up and up, Chris. Mm-hmm. So I think at one point you're going to say, wow, you know, if this gets to 8.5, 9.5, I think just as this news is coming out, you're seeing this line get steamed up to the Seahawks. Yep. I think a lot of books, you know, early Pritch, it was only -6.5. Now it's all the way up to 8 with Davis Mills likely starting. I think this is a great teaser play on the Seahawks. Russell Wilson finally getting a win last game where there was some money late in his favor, 3.5 to 3, even down to 2.5. You get a little mojo going. Now you're going to play a rookie coach, rookie quarterback. I would like to take the Seahawks here, 8 down to 2. Or if you find a 7.5, down to -1.5. I think that's the angle here in a non-conference matchup. And again, could be a low-scoring one. Davis Mills, when he played, Pritch, you'd be lucky if you put up 7 points. I mean, this is a really, really low-scoring team with him behind center. That total's already fallen 43.5 down to 41.5, and that's a non-conference under as well. So I'd lean under, and I'd look to tease down the Seahawks now playing against Davis Mills.
Okay, total at 42. That's very interesting right there. I mean, if you like, I guess if you want the Hawks, I mean, right now, because you think it's going to keep rising here, the spread.
I think so, too. You had the initial adjustment just switching quarterbacks, but now, Pritch, we're lucky. You know, this is our job, but all the public working hard at their job, where when they get home and see that, you know, you're going to have Davis Mills in place of Taylor, you're going to have further heavily public betting here. I think this line gets higher and higher if you like the Seahawks on the spread or teaser. I think you bet them now. This thing's only going to go up.
Okay, I highly recommend the Market Insights podcast. Josh Applebaum, I was actually in your book, Everything Guide to Sports Betting, because basketball, NBA, is on my horizon. So I wanted to refresh all the information I got out of your book as well as your podcast. So Army-Navy, college football. I thought we had Army-Navy last night, but we're going to have college football with Army-Navy. I've been to this game, Josh. I've covered this game repeatedly. It is one of the best events ever to be able to attend that game. The passion on the field right there. For me, it's always tough to handicap because the energy from the cadets, it's unmatched. And it doesn't matter the series matchup. It just doesn't really matter sometimes. But the emotion in this game, Army's laying 7.5 against Navy, though.
Yeah, so really, Pritch, anytime I see this matchup, I automatically go to the total. You know, we did see a little move toward Navy. I think some books were Army, -8.5, down to -8.5, or sorry, down to -7.5. But Pritch, Military Academy unders. When I got into system-driven betting, this was one of the first systems that I learned. And it was basically when you have two military academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, any of these teams, and they play each other, the under is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's about 80% if you go back the last decade. In the last 15 matchups between Army and Navy, the under is 15-0. So automatically when these teams get together, they play the same style. They run the ball. And when you run the ball all the time, Pritch, you kind of know what to expect. You chew up the clock. That's really the angle with these military academy unders. My only question now, Pritch, same thing we had last night. The under is getting a lot of money, but are you late now? This is something that you as a bettor have to decide for yourself. The total opened 36.5. It is now down to 34. I see 33.5. So a lot of money to the under. Again, the under is cash 15 in a row between these two teams. To me, it's an under or nothing play. I just get a little concerned that it's now down to 33.5. Yeah. And I would say, Pritch, every year this happens and you have a lot of people say, wow, it's dipped. It's so low. Let me buy low, take the over. It seems to not matter. They go under anyway. So maybe the odds makers have adjusted, and now this is your true total at 33.5. But if you got anything 36, 35 early, you're feeling really good with this Army-Navy total dropping.
If anybody out there ever gets the chance to go to this game, you have to do it. It's on a bucket list. It has to be on your bucket list. It is truly one of the better events ever in any sport, really. The pageantry, the walk-on, everything, the whole day is just so festive out there. Army, Navy, there you got the spread, -7.5 for Army, 34 is a total. You got to play in the NHL as well. Who do you have?
Yeah, Pritch, let's see if I can make a case and help you, you know, jump on my side and sweat this game with me. Let's go Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, Pritch. This was a good system match for me. They're on the road at Montreal. You had Tampa Bay really good as a favorite this year, 14-6. They're 7-2-2 on the road. Montreal's been terrible as a dog, 4-13, and they're 4-8-1 at home. So those trends really favor the Lightning here. You've had a big steam move on the Lightning. They open around -190. They've been bet up to around -210. If you look at these big favorites, 200 or more this year, they're 61-19, 76% with almost a 10% return on investment. You also look at these road favorites, -175 or more. They're 17-4, 81%. So it's a big number. Maybe you're intrigued by a puck line play here. I'll go money line. And again, anytime I'm betting a baseball or a NHL favorite here that's at this price, always bet to risk, not bet to win against for all plays. You're risking your one unit, trying to get a half unit back. Let's go Lightning tonight, Pritch.
All right. I don't know if I'm going to do that. I got to go to a dinner tonight. The National Football Foundation is in town, the College Football Hall of Fame. Eric Dickerson's going in. Michael Westbrook, CU's buff right there, is going in as well. It's going to be a festive evening.
Nice. Have some fun, Pritch. I'll stay glued to your Twitter and see you and all the VIPs tonight.
Absolutely. Send out pictures on Twitter for sure. That'll do it for us today. Back tomorrow. The Edge coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.